Calling this meeting to order. This is the special session of the mayor and council of the city of Bisbee, county of Cochise and state of Arizona, to be held on Monday, October 30th, 2017, at 5:30 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G. George, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith?
Present.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn is excused. Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom?
Here.
City staff, Robert Smith, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Carrie Bagley, finance director, Andy Heretic, public works director, Albert E. Chavez, police chief, George Castillo, interim fire chief, Britt Hanson, city attorney.
Thank you, ma'am. This evening, we have two separate items to be discussed and or considered. I'm reversing the order of these. The reason I'm doing that is we have some press here, and we can let them cover this so that they can meet deadlines and so forth, and then we'll go on to the second order. So with that, I will be allowing call to the public. I have six people signed up for call to the public, and a couple people came in after I picked up the sheet. Is there anybody else that wants call to the public that hasn't signed up? No? Okay, we're good. All right, and so with that, I will we'll be taking the quote bag ban as item number one. And so taking the order that we have here, Mr. Brad Edwards, you wish to speak on the bag ban? Come forward, sir, and you have your 3 minutes up here at the podium.
Yes, I'd like to apologize to the people assembled for a cough I've got. I'm recovering from a cold, so if that interrupts, please bear with me. I read Brett Hansen's report to the State Attorney General's office about the bag ban in response to the Attorney General's office decision to consider the bag ban as being unconstitutional, I guess, pending court review. And I take issue with a couple of comments he made. I certainly don't disagree at all with him on the sentiments he mentioned as far as the residents of the city being very concerned about the blight and, you know, wanting to do what they can to keep our city a lot cleaner than it has been in the past. What I do take issue with him about is the means by which we did it. I know that many of you, most of you probably were here when the bag ban was originally passed, and I know it went from a situation where there was probably nothing done on the bag ban worth of anything, nothing effective for about a year or so, and then suddenly the city went from one extreme to the other by not doing anything to actually doing a ban without considering things in the middle. And I think that the state is, I think, legitimately concerned about what happened in the city, the state concern, not so much as the ban itself, but how it was passed, the process by which it was passed. And I really think that the city needs to reconsider oftentimes the way it went from this case. Other places I've been, in other towns and such, it seems to indicate when something like this happens precipitously from one extreme to the other, it's because of a vocal minority of just a few people who want to rush things through real fast. When, as far as I know, I don't remember there was even a vote that was taken by the citizens of the city. And I thought this was an issue that really should have been voted upon directly by the people, not by the council. And I really have very strong misgivings about how the process was done, how the ban was passed, irregardless of whether it was a ban or what it was. And that's what I want to register my concerns about right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Mr. Miller, may I assume that you want to speak on the other subject?
I do, but I just assume that was a session on the bag ban.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. No. If you want to speak on the bag ban, it doesn't have it. It just says call the public. So if you want to speak on the bag ban, you're up. If you want to speak on the other subject, then we're going to hold you until later. Shawnee Hicks. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Council and citizens of Bisbee. I just wanted to speak to the bag ban. I'm a little worried about our town and the potential, the financial situation that we're in, and the fact that we have to go probably to the state to address the issue of our unfunded liability on the pensions for the fire and police. Therefore, we kind of need to maintain some kind of a decent relationship with the state. And getting in a fight about this bag ban right now seems like a big thing in the news, might really ruffle a lot of feathers. I'm wondering if there's a better way that we can approach this and get the same result. When the bag ban thing came around, it was about making a statement, hoping other communities would join in. And there was other communities like in California that were doing such a thing, and it seemed like it was a good positive move. I think that now we're hanging out here alone a bit. We have excellent proof that it really worked, that it was an appropriate thing to do, but it could be a very expensive proposition to have our city fight that battle, where we as consumers and as citizens of the town might better, it might be a better strategy to create an environmental group that goes to the various businesses, pleads with them to voluntarily maintain this ban, to keep this blight from overtaking our city again, and you know, not have to try to use legal means to enforce that when we're up against Goliath and we're going to be going to that Goliath asking for some rhythm on other issues that we have. So my feeling is that we should try to look for other solutions to this problem rather than getting in an expensive legal fight when it's probably not politically expedient. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Elise Dubnik. Welcome.
Hi. My name's Elise Dubnik. Live in Bisbee. I also kind of feel a little bit like the last speaker. I was thinking that possibly either a voluntary thing would be good, or as we talked about, I remember at one council meeting, some of the people were complaining about like taxation without representation type thing, that this was a tax somehow. And so the other thing is, what part of it is illegal? Is just saying that you have to limit what kind of containers, is that what makes it illegal, or is it the fact that there's a 5-cent, you know, tax or fee? And if we just eliminated whatever part of it makes it illegal, that might be one solution. I mean, and I do think that just appealing to people, you know, as far as, you know, we want to keep the city as clean as possible. And so, you know, just whoever wants to do that, you know, can participate. Because it seems like, you know, Bisbee doesn't have the resources to fight the whole state. And unless, you know, a bunch of other cities are willing to get involved as a class action kind of thing or whatever you want to do. But again, that might create a lot of dissension, you know. So just some things I thought I was thinking about and thought I'd share.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Margot McCartney.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Margot McCartney. I live at 60th and Al Draw. I recognize that the site costs money and we don't have much money. But it seems to me that the state is bullying us. The state of Arizona, it's very curious because the state of Arizona will bridle at anything the feds want us to do. Oh no, don't tell us what to do. But then they have no compunction telling, you know, we're a small city. We're a small city, we're a border city, we live right by the desert. The plastic is different here than it is in Phoenix or Tucson. It affects nature, it affects the animals and the birds that inhabit our area, not to mention the blight. And to bully it, I guess it's a double-edged sword. Oh, do we just roll over and say, okay, you got your way, whatever you want, Mr. Bully. I thought the whole thing started with Susan Blackford writing somebody in Phoenix, because it came right after that, and she has some connections there. But the bag ban was discussed for years before it even came. It was in city council. I go to city councils all the time. It was not just rammed through. It was discussed for years. Had school children did projects and it's. I mean, I just hope we'll fight for it because I think it has made such a difference in our environment. And I don't like the sound of my own voice, so I'll stop talking.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Heratic, you're down as item. Is this item? Is that correct? The other item too. All right, sir. That's it. No, your time. You had a yellow light.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But thank you, sir.
Sure.
All right, Council. This is an item that our city attorney has been, Mr. Hansen's been very, very busy on. As late as this afternoon, I know he was in telephone calls. I know that he and I had a conference call this morning with, 15 people from all over the country involved, from Fordham Law School, Columbia Law School, all kinds of different groups throughout the country. This we need to discuss where we're going with this, and this, of course, involves a potential of litigation, and so for that reason, I would entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I think, as I've done in the past, I can discuss kind of the background of this
that's
public
great.
For the
I didn't know if we were going to do it before or after, Mr. Hansen.
Eventually, we'll want to get there because there is going to be some legal advice that should be done in executive session, but I think the background certainly...
Please do, sir.
All right. And I know this has been a confusing subject because I've talked to a lot of people, including members of the media, who have been following this story, who still, it's hard to keep track of where we're at. And part of the confusion is a lot of people assume that the city of Bisbee with the plastic bag issue is in the same position that the city of Tucson was when the AG ruled on their gun ordinance, and we're not in the same position. So let me just kind of go through again what the options or the process was under SB 1487, what the AG's Attorney General's options were, and the one he chose, and therefore where we're at. The process, the SB 1487, I'm referring to the bill number process that the legislature passed a couple years ago, is any single legislator can refer a matter to the Attorney General's office for review by making a complaint, the complaint being that a local law, a local ordinance, such as our plastic bag ban, violates state law. And in this case, this legislature not only passed this procedure, SB 1487, they passed a law specifically prohibiting cities from prohibiting retailers from passing out plastic bags. So it didn't have anything to do with the tax issue. It was just simply the legislature passed a law saying cities cannot stop retailers from giving plastic bags to their customers, period. So anyway, Senator Warren Peterson from Maricopa County, who was the sponsor of the bill, referred the matter to the Attorney General's office complaining that the city ordinance violated state law. And the reason it wasn't a completely open and shut case is there is some charter or case law on charter cities giving charter cities more powers than other cities. And our hope is the Attorney General would agree with us that the plastic bag ban issue was enough of a local concern that it would override any statewide concerns the legislature had in passing the law blocking us from passing the bag ban. But the Attorney General disagreed and said it violates state law. And that's different than the Tucson case, but because in that case, the Attorney General's opinion was that the city of Tucson may have violated state law. And in that case, that triggered the case going directly to the Supreme Court. That's not the case here, because the Attorney General said Bisbee definitely violated state law. So it doesn't go straight to the Supreme Court. Our options would be we could still file suit in Superior Court asking for two things. One is for the judge to rule that, yes, the charter powers of the city are strong enough that we're entitled to enact the plastic bag ordinance, notwithstanding state law. But of course, to get to that point, you would also have to take a second step, which is you would have to get the judge to issue an injunction prohibiting the Attorney General from directing the state treasurer to withhold our state revenues. And that's another part of SB 1487, is the after the Attorney General issues his opinion, the city has a choice within 30 days to either repeal or revise its ordinance to comply with state law, or in that 30, after that 30 days, then the state treasurer would withhold the state shared revenues. Everybody knows a little bit about city finances and knows that would be a death sentence. We could never go to that route of having the state withhold our state shared revenues, either for 10 minutes or for a year. It would just be a death sentence to the city financially, so we would never go to that route. But there are other options as well. As I mentioned, one, if the council's direction was to go forward and continue to fight to uphold the ordinance, we could file a suit in Superior Court, again, asking also for the injunction not to withhold the state shared revenues. The resources, of course, to fight the lawsuit are first attorneys on this side of the equation to represent the city. And we have some resources lined up for that, but not 100% resources at this point. But there's also another, there's another issue as well. Which is if the city succeeded, the Attorney General would have to pay us attorney's fees, but likewise, if the city didn't prevail and the state won, we would have to pay the attorney's fees to the state of Arizona. And that, how much that could be, it's really hard to guess. I could just tell the council and the public that in the city of Tucson case, the city of Tucson wound up paying $100,000 in attorney's fees. So it's not cheap. And there certainly are exposures. So that's kind of where we're at. I think if the council has questions before we go into executive session, as long as it doesn't involve what my advice is going to be to you or some, you know, legal principle, I'd be glad to answer them before we went into executive session.
Council? Nope.
It's something that has to be, you think, executive session? I mean,
yeah, it's going to involve some trade-offs that it would be a terrible strategy no matter which route the council decided to go to make those discussions.
The rest of us didn't hear the question.
Okay. Yeah, Councilman Lindstrom asked, can't we have all of it in open session, or does some of it have to be an executive session? And that was my response.
Then I'd entertain a motion.
I move to enter into executive session for discussion and consultation with our city attorney for legal advice and possible litigation.
I second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye. 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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. We stand in executive session. No?
Oh. I move that we come out of the executive session.
We have a motion. We have a second to come out of executive session. Those members in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Do we have a motion?
Yes, I have a motion to direct the city attorney to draft a revised ordinance making the provision of plastic bags by retailers voluntary, provided, however, that if a court rules that Bisbee's mandatory bag ordinance is valid, such ordinance will go back into effect.
Second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0 unanimously. Mr. Hansen, would you kindly explain what that means and your interactions with
sure.
local people, please?
Yes. One of the things that one of the elements that went into the decision-making process here involved the largest retailer in Bisbee, Safeway, and I've spent quite a bit of time speaking to their representatives at their headquarters about what their position would be if city decided to rescind its mandatory bag ban and replace it with a voluntary bag ban. And Safeway was, in all my communications with them on this subject and others, really terrific. They feel that every store they have, they become a member of the community, and they want to do the will of the community. And so long as they have no plans to change their current operations, which is to offer paper bags if people forget their cloth or reusable bags, and not have plastic bags. Of course, since this is voluntary, that would be up to Safeway to change it at any time, but at this time, they are giving us a show of support and really appreciate that. And then the other thing I wanted to explain, because it might not have been 100% clear from the motion, when we were in open session before, I explained that we're under a 30-day time frame to file a lawsuit to get the AG's opinion overruled. And at this point, what this language would do is allow the city not to have to operate within the state's 30-day time frame, but at a later date, if the council so decided and found resources to address a potential lawsuit so the city wouldn't be exposed, we could do it outside that 30-day time frame at the time and place of the city's choosing.
Thank you, sir.
I have nothing further, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we'll move on to the next order of business. And I will resume call to the public. And this will be, according to this will be in reference to item number one, which is discussion and possible approval of the employment agreement with Mr. Robert E. Smith. And our first speaker is Mr. Mac Music. Welcome, sir.
I need to clarify
please.
That I'm not currently a resident.
Sir, you need, you, whatever you want to say, you have to say up here because they have to record it.
I'm not sure I have the privilege of speaking here because I'm not currently a resident.
You do have the privilege of speaking, sir.
Pardon?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I purchased a home here in July of 2014, and I sold it in January of 2017, and I have signed a contract to purchase a home at number 20 Lowell Avenue in Bisbee, so I'm coming back. Currently reside in Naco. I feel that the appointment of Mr. Robert Smith, well, the city manager pro tem, if we were to appoint him, or if city council was to appoint him, it would be subverting the policies and procedures that the city has in place for hiring people. And I'm aware that there were three other applicants. Perhaps one has dropped out, but I'm not sure, it's not clear, whether the remaining applicants are being fair consideration. And I know from comments that you, Mr. Mayor, have suggested that their applications were carefully reviewed and I presume rejected as not being qualified for the position. But the public hasn't had a chance to meet those applicants. So I feel that the hiring process is being, there's an end run or a subversion of the process, and that the equal opportunity that should be afforded to people who went to the trouble to apply, should they meet the minimum qualifications, I feel they should be considered by the council, but even more so introduced to the public so that we can see their resumes, their educational backgrounds, and determine for ourselves whether or not they're qualified for the position of city manager. That's it.
Thank you, sir. We're in a position, as you know, of not answering questions or replying. I will indicate for the record that other applications were on the website for public being able to look at it publicly. Second person, Andy Horadic. Mr. Horadic, welcome, sir.
Mayor and Council, thank you. Andy Horadic, I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Bisbee. Mayor and Council, I've been with the city for 13 years. I can get credit for 10. We have been, I'm here today, I'm sticking my neck out for a process. No one gets held to the processes in this city, in my belief, higher than Public Works. We spend a great deal of money, we do a great deal of work, and we spend a lot of time following process. I'm not always happy with the way things happened in the city, but I do want to tell you something, and I feel we're at a point now that it is a critical point at the city. And I'm going to say some things here tonight. I'm sorry that I'm going to say them, but I'm going to defend myself and my employees at this point. I've worked for the city for four city managers. The last city manager threatened my job if the word no came out of my mouth. The previous city manager, who was a wonderful man, very young, we wanted somebody dynamic and young, and we got it. I just love that guy, worst administrator I ever met in my life. The city manager before him decided that something had been done illegally with process, and he actually came to me and said he had more to lose than I did, so I would have to take the hit. And do I need to talk about Yandow? We've been through these processes before. I understand the value of the processes. We are now at a point in the city where it is beyond critical. We are on, If there's red lights flashing, they started flashing the day after City Hall burnt down. As long as we follow, as long as what we do is right, and if we have to usurp a process to do the right thing, as long as we're not breaking any laws, I want you to know that in my 13 years at the city, if you'll give it to me or not, and you won't, Arizona State Retirement will, but the city won't because of a conflict I had with the city manager, we are not at a point where we can diddle around with this anymore. You have finally brought somebody forward. I didn't like the process. I railed the mayor when we started this. But you have finally brought somebody forward who can actually understand us when we talk to him and is a kind, decent person. And I am just sick and tired of not only do we have this process, and then we have let past mayor and councils pick the worst city managers we have ever had. We are finally at a point that if we can get out of this financial situation, and it's worse than you think, if we can get out of this and we can do it with somebody and we can have a little dignity on the way, I'm here to support the decision to hire the interim city manager. And I'm here today, I spoke to the mayor about this before, and I want you to know I'm here today to defend myself and the people I work with here in the city. The processes we used to eliminate the last city manager, in my opinion, were outrageous. And that opened the bag for what we're doing today. We need to reset and find our center. I don't like it, but it's the best thing we can do for me and the people I work with at the city. So.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fred Miller.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Fred Miller. I live at 39 Hazard Street in Warren. So I'm urging council members, after lots of deliberation and lots of talk around town, to accept the contract that's under consideration for the city manager. I realize it is quite a bit of money, more than we've ever paid before. But due to exigencies beyond our control, this has not been the best process, that's for sure. We would have liked a long process. If you talk to some people in town, a six-month process would have been wonderful with thousands of candidates, but that's not going to happen even in the best of times. And I would support a lengthier process, casting a wider net, if we were going to do that. But we don't have that kind of time, and I think it's unrealistic for our critical situation right now. At this juncture, I think that Mr. Smith is the best choice for a city manager. And I have really big expectations. I've read a lot of the city manager reports. I think they're well written. I think there's a grasp of some of the problems that we haven't had with other city managers, and it's a big sum of money for us. But I think Mr. Smith is going to be more than pay for himself. So I guess my advice to Mr. Smith: you better start bringing home the bacon, Daddy. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
That's it.
All right. As we are talking about an employment matter having to do with a contract, I'd entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I move that we enter into executive session for ARS 38-431.03A1. The City Council may vote to go into executive session consideration for employment, assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, dismissal, salaries, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer, appointee, or employee of any public body.
Second. Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign.
Nay.
We motion carries 4-2. Whoever.
Motion we come out of it.
Executive session.
Okay. We have a motion to come out of executive session. We have a second. Are those in favor? Signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the employment agreement with Mr. Robert E.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Hanson?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Nay.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 4-2. We have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Second.
We have numerous seconds. All those in favor, we need to vote, please.
Aye.
Thank you.